This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley speaking, and I want to take you into what's in a name. It means a great deal, of course, but I refer you back into Isaiah 62 and the second verse, where God is saying, I shall call you by a new name. Called by a new name. In our last broadcast, we looked together at a name that God called us in. We were called friends. Now I want to look at another name that we are called. You'll find it recorded for you in Acts of the Apostles and in verses 1 through 11. In Acts 1 and verses 1 through 11, we discover here that we are called witnesses. We know that we are witnesses for the Lord Jesus. So now, my dear friend who's listening to me as a saint of the Lord Jesus, what's your witness doing? And how are you being a witness? Notice in the first verse of former Triesti, have I made, O Theophilus, in all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion in many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be, here it is, witnesses both unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem. Now, I'd like to kick off at this last verse that I read, because we're going to see Jesus pretty soon, I believe, coming down through the heavens. This is going to be fulfilled. It cannot not be fulfilled. It has to be fulfilled. But that is not my purpose today. My purpose is to say to you, we are called by a new name, and the name is we are witnesses. Now then, the word appears mostly in Acts of the Apostles, but in Isaiah 43 and verses 10 through 12, twice the Lord says, ye are my witnesses. Just before his ascension, the Lord Jesus said in verse 8 here, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Witnesses. We are called witnesses. So we have to read, I believe, from the first letter of Corinthians and chapter 1, verse 26 through 29 is a good place to start looking about witnesses. And we find ourselves faced with some very powerful words that the apostle writes to the church there. And he says very plainly about being a witness. Let's look for a moment and go and discover these precious words and look and understand what it is that God is saying. He says here in verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." It's very important to understand that God doesn't do things our way. I know I've said it before in different ways, but he does not do these things our way. He has a method that we don't often understand. If you go back into Acts 1 and verse 8, we find it will help us discover the privileges and responsibilities of witnessing. It is here indicated the whole work of the whole church is for the whole age. The divine plan for world evangelism is our plan. Now, God chooses people. He does not choose the angels or supermen. By looking at this verse 8, you discover, he says, you, first it was Peter, James, and John, then others from the rank and file of life. It is us. He does choose some noble and mighty ones to be witnesses, but not many. Therefore, we see God expects every Christian to be a witness. The person who does not witness is as a light that does not shine, a stream that does not flow, a seed that does not grow. If every Christian is a witness, then God has witnesses everywhere. Witnesses are those saved by grace. They're the people whom God chooses to be witnesses. Now, there's a plan that God adopts. What's the function of the witness? What is a witness? To give a testimony based on personal knowledge. That's a definition of a witness. To give a testimony based on personal knowledge. I saw this crash. I saw this crime committed. I saw this thing happen. I am a witness. I was there. When Jesus works in our hearts, it is such a personal thing that we have to talk about it in a personal way. And we have to be able to give a testimony based on personal knowledge. A witness must tell not what he thinks, nor what he supposes, nor what he overhears, but what he knows from personal experience. This is sometimes very difficult for people to understand. It should be first-hand, up-to-the-minute evidence. I would ask you to turn to chapter 22 of Acts of the Apostles very briefly and quickly. Look with me there, because we can discover witnessing at work, for instance, in the 22nd chapter and the 15th verse, we read these words, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." The Apostle Paul is telling his story, telling his testimony, and he's telling it before the hierarchy of the time. People are listening, and he says in verse 14 here of 22 of Acts, you hear the apostle saying, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee," meaning himself, "that thou shouldst know his will and see that just one," who is Jesus, "and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Then he goes on and says that the word was, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying to me, "Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So the Apostle Paul was on the run, and he's telling his personal witness. He is letting people know, this happened to me, and boy, did I have to take off and run fast. But it happened. Again, let's go to the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John. Verse 25 in particular, this man who was born blind has been given his sight. It's a wonderful thing that has happened, and he's jumped around and he's telling everybody about this thing that I was born blind and now I see. And the Jews and the leaders of the synagogue are saying to him that it didn't happen. And he says, well, that's a strange thing. Whether he be talking of Jesus a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. What a tremendous witness that was. Nobody could say that this was not a supernatural working of the Spirit of Christ in this man's life. Let's go to the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of John. And in verse 11, Nicodemus is talking with Jesus. And he says, I don't understand. You say I've got to be born again. How can these things be? Jesus is answering him, art thou a master in Israel? Knowest thou not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Now, if I've told you earthly things, Jesus continues, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And so on. We are witnesses. And the witness is the person who has a personal experience. He's not telling what somebody told him. He is right there. We should be telling what we have seen and heard and know of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. Always our testimony should center around the Lord Jesus. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, not unto ourselves. Because I am a Christian, I recommend myself as a politician. That's rubbish. That is not the call of the Word of God. The Word of God is telling us, I have seen these things, I've heard these things, I've obeyed these things. I know Jesus as my personal Savior, and it was His doing. It is marvelous in my eyes. That is a witness. And ladies and gentlemen, I say to you, always our testimony must center around the Lord Jesus. We must not be a denomination or a movement or a society, a system or a creed, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We must be speaking of him. Sure, I grew up a Baptist. So what? The label will burn off as I go down or it'll fall off as I go up. What a label. Sure, I can believe in Baptist polity. It's one of the silliest things I've ever heard of. I'm a Baptist because I believe in baptism by total immersion. That's why I'm a Baptist. If I'm a Baptist, I don't think I am. I think I am a Christian who grew up in a Baptist church. But since then, my ministry and time with the Lord has taken me away from such small things. If you ever taken a pair of binoculars, turn them back to front and looked out at what you're looking for, why, the image is so far away you can't see it properly. But when you turn the binoculars round and you focus properly, why, the image is brought right up in slap bang in front of you. It's very important that we understand exactly where we are with the Lord Jesus as a witness. There are so many other scriptures. But witnessing is not only a matter of telling, it is also living. We should talk about Jesus. Psalm 107 and verse 2 tells us that, and Mark 5 and verse 19 tells us that. But it is our consistent lives that are the witness for Christ. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, says Jesus in Acts 1:8. What we are is more important than what we say. If our lives are witnessing for him, then our saying will be effective and powerful. What a plan for evangelism of the world. Everyone in his own sphere of life, living and speaking about the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be something if these politicians would tell us their love for Jesus Christ without politicizing it? Now, the third thing I would leave with you is the place God indicates. Where are witnesses to go? Everywhere, according to this 8th verse of 1 Acts. A very geographical setting is laid out and indicated for us, first in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Look at Matthew 28:19. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the great challenge. Undoubtedly, some must leave homes and go to other places and lands to fulfill the Lord's commission, be a witness where he has never been heard of. That's one part. That's a missionary's call. But there are calls to us. For instance, we are in the light of Acts 1:16, his witnesses to everyone that comes around us. And every one of us should be willing to go anywhere for the Lord. Whoever we are, whatever our age, whatever our circumstances, we should be willing to be the Lord's witnesses in the place of his choice. Perhaps a secular job, that we might be living witnesses there. In the light of Acts 1:8, young people, we'll say you're under 30, should be especially exercised as to whether or not the Lord would have you be his witnesses where the need is greatest. It seems the need is greatest in many other lands, in South Africa, South America, all over Africa, India, and so on. Millions have never heard about Jesus. Every young person should be encouraged to spend and be spent. In the light of Acts 1:8, all who would be witnesses must begin at Jerusalem, that is, to begin at home. Live consistently at home, in the office, in the hospital, in the school, and so on. Wherever we are just now, live for the Lord Jesus. Going abroad does not make us witnesses. God yearns over the whole wide world, and his method for evangelizing it is to send forth living witnesses. In Romans 10, verses 13 through 15, who is sufficient for these things? I think it's very important that people like us should know exactly what we're talking about. It's so often we don't, because we don't read the scriptures as often as we should, and so we don't absorb what God is saying. But he's saying start at home and then move gently from home outwards so that you're involved in the whole world. If you're not a missionary in the far corners of the world, then you can still be very efficient, because missionaries need prayer. Missionaries need support. Missionaries need help. And you and I, we can support and help them. And we can pray for them day by day praying. Look at this, Romans 10, verses 13 through 15. We read, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And so he goes on and talks about who has believed our report from Isaiah. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the earth. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them who are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto the disobedient and gainsaying people. So God is just wanting to be the friend of people, and we are the witnesses of that friendship. Mary Slessor wasn't a very clever person, but God put in her heart the love of Jesus. William Carey was a bootmaker. He wasn't very gifted in anything else, and yet he managed to write the first commentary of the Bible in Hindu. Went to India, and you'll find Jim Elliot, to me, a great hero of this present day. He died in 51, I believe it was, as he was speared to death by the Anka Indians down in Quito, Ecuador. And Jim Elliot had much to say. One of the things I extracted from what he said in his diary, it was this. The Bible says, go ye. It never says, come back. If only we could get that through the minds of so many people that go out as missionaries. I hear missionaries talking of being burned out. Then burn out. Near to death, die. Be a witness in death, be a witness in burning, be a witness whatever is happening to you, be a witness. The Goforths, Jonathan and Rosalind Goforth, during the Boxer Rebellion, told stories, you ought to read these stories, that told stories of how God lifted them up and supplied their needs when they were being persecuted and hounded. There was Peter and Paul, and they told the story of Jesus. How does anyone anywhere have a vital and effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to come back to Acts 1:8 and remember what is said there. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Wonderful, precious, powerful, mighty. Be a witness. Talk about him. The last thing I will say to you this day is this. The period that God gives. How much time do we have left to evangelize? Until he comes. Until he comes. Look at verses 9 through 11 of this chapter 1 of Acts of the Apostles when he had spoken these things. While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Boy, that's yet to happen. We've got some time. We don't know how much, but he's coming, and his coming is very near, and we must be on the job now. Because it's urgent that we're there now. Time is short. The need is great. Millions are lost. We must, each of us, get out into this world and be a witness for the saving grace and the beautiful knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Have you heard the story of Jesus? Tell the story of Jesus as he came into your heart. Be a witness. Be a witness. Tell the stories of Jesus. My dad sometimes would get on the bus as we left church or the tram car in London, and we would go together. We would sit on the top of the bus. Now, my dad had a good witness wherever he went, and he would just sit there and he would sing loudly, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. He would speak to people all around him, giving them tracts and telling them of the love of Jesus, the whole place would go totally silent. We'd usually go to the top of the bus, and that's what my dad used to do. So I came from the stock of people that were witnesses. My grandfather was a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ during the days of Charles Hatton Spurgeon, who was his teacher. I have some books signed by Hatton Spurgeon. Wonderful things. Witnesses, go out and be witnesses for Jesus. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that we may be bold enough to stand and to be witnesses for you, to tell others the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Oh, Father, we ask that we may only be Christocentric, we may only be Christ-centered, that we may only speak of his great love wherewith he hath loved us. Thank you for being a God full of forgiveness. Thank you for being a God full of love. And we ask that you would drench us in your love, that your love may be supreme in our very existence. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.